Okay, from KCRW, I'm Justin Simeon, and don't at me, but I got jungle fever. Zassi Bates has jungle fever. We got jungle fever. We're in love. We're talking to each other right after the theme song. We both have white booze.
We do.
And of course we're doing this because, you know, every black person should only date white people. I'm just kidding. But that seems to be, I feel like it's a bit of a political charge.
It is.
Thing.
I have to say, both of us were a little nervous talking about it.
Yeah.
Because it is a very politically inflammatory to some parties.
I would say so too. And, mm-hmm. and especially right now in this particular climate, people like love to sort of anyone who's kind of famous for something black, something
yeah.
like explicitly black,
yeah.
and they end up having, you know, a white fee or a white bae, whatever it is.
Yeah.
There's like a group of people who really love to just point that out
yeah.
and sort of
yeah.
or use that as a takedown.
Yeah. And that it doesn't, that having a white partner doesn't validate your own blackness or
right.
your own experience as a black person.
Or that there's
is
some kind of race play element.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get into, we're going to bring
exactly.
the fellas in for all of that.
mm-hmm.
White people have joined us, but we happen to be in love with them.
Love them so much.
So we have David Risdahl.
Risdahl.
you just told me that, by
fine.
The way, before we
it's
came back
right.
on.
Risdahl.
Damn it, Risdahl. Anyway, welcome. You are a writer, actor.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say producer, but you don't agree with that.
Well, I mean, we're learning how to produce. We're starting a web company together.
Yeah.
And so we are learning the producer game. And we're putting together a movie that's been like a couple years of producing.
I
so
would
you, can
say
call it,
producer.
You can call it
yeah.
producer. Yeah, I can claim that, I guess.
Very
a little
cool.
bit.
And we've also been joined by my white bae. Mm-hmm. Rick Proctor, whose name I can pronounce.
kind of.
And I would say, what am I going to call it? You're definitely a fantastic photographer, but I also want to say you're a brand creative director of sorts. You sort of consult
okay,
with brands.
I can go
and
with that.
What kind of photography do you do?
I mostly do weed.
Well, explain it better than that now.
I'm doing a series called How I Get High.
Okay.
And it's focused on stories of people in their daily lives. So it's breast cancer survivors
oh.
and Crohn's
patients.
Have you
watched Weedikit on
yes,
Vice?
Yes, I love
yeah.
it.
Cannabis.
Mm-hmm.
We're fans. But, I, you know, we're here to talk about interracial dating. I mean, I don't know. I feel it to me is like the most controversial thing.
It is
to talk about because people, it, you get people get in their feelings.
People get very upset.
They have the
about
right
it.
To get in their feelings,
mm-hmm.
but at the same time, I don't know if it really reflects me or
yeah.
us.
Yeah.
I don't know. How have you guys? Who's giving you the most agita over it, I guess? Or
okay.
have you gotten any?
I want to preface this with, I have been very nervous about this conversation.
Same, by the way.
Really?
Yes.
I think it's worth talking about. And also, I feel like with all of the interracial couples I have ever encountered in my life, it, generally, I feel like people have a similar experience.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I hate to say it, but it's usually, we generally find from the black community,
black
publicly
hate it.
Or yeah, just kind of like, mm-hmm. for whatever reason, they don't like it.
Well, I think, so I'm just going to put it in the way that I've experienced it,
mm-hmm.
which is like usually Rick, and I don't even know if you get this stuff. But, like, I'll post something, like, on our anniversary or something,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, or Rick's birthday, and I'm like, oh, I love my baby, whatever. And then there's, like, a contingency of people who are like, that'll, like, reply
mm-hmm.
and at somebody, like, see? Or some
yeah.
shit
yeah.
like that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
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 yeah. And I think it's, like, I think it's part of that, like, oh, see, they ain't as black as they say they are.
Yeah, or like, that they're lying about what they feel and what they think.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I got that comment once of, like, oh, you know, that they're lying, that they're not actually...
They're not really down.
Yeah, exactly.
Not really about blackness.
Exactly.
Or that, like, you know, and by the way, the point of this podcast is not to be like, see, guys,
mm-hmm.
we're great. That's not the point.
Yeah.
It's really to have a conversation. I remember we were in a Q&A in Atlanta, I think,
yep.
for Dear White People, everybody black in the theater except for like Rick and his friends who were sitting in the center.
Which it was not my fault that they let me in first. It was the person that organized it. I didn't want to walk in.
So you feel hella awkward that white people have entered already. So but then, you know, and this has happened. This is every Q&A for Dear White People. There's inevitably, you know, somebody that's asking, why does Sam end up with the white guy at the end of the movie?
I was going to ask about, how do you feel about it?
And the truth is, for me as an artist, I never expect art to tell me what to do and how to live. Mm-hmm. I expect art to make me feel something that then sends me into the world to discuss it. So, you know, for me, movies shouldn't be like, the character does this, therefore you should do that. Mm-hmm. You know, if Sam made a choice, and we're meant to debate that choice in the real world and debate why she did it, what it means, et cetera. That's why I did it. But I always get the question of why and what are you saying? And, you know, are you, you know, there's this assumption that I'm against black love or something because I'm depicting the relationship that works in the movie is an interracial relationship. I'm not saying any of those things. It's just like, it's like literally the first hour and 45 minute of content that I ever made that the public consumed. Yeah. So like, I've got a few more, hopefully, stories to tell.
Well, I think it's actually very beautiful to talk about or to bring up that somebody can have a strong identity as a black person and still have the complexity of, but they, you know, love somebody of any other race, you know, and that that doesn't take away from their identity and how they grew up and how other people see them, you know, like nothing is ever going to take away from me walking down the street and experiencing the world as a black woman. Why, you know,
ever. The thing is that they have a point because there are a group of people who do race play in their relationships. There are black men who think that they're trading up by dating white women. There are black women who like who feel like, you know, I chose white, as happened in, in one of my favorite episodes of Atlanta. You know, that is a thing. That is a thing that happens. And I feel like the assumption is that we're all doing that. I mean, I wasn't looking for white people. I wasn't, you know, there are more white people in Los Angeles, first of all. And so, you know, I've dated black guys, I've dated white guys. And Rick is the one that I ended up with.
Yeah.
And I would say I was the opposite, as Justin is the first black person I dated.
Yeah.
But that was not out of purpose. It was out of segregation in the gay community and everybody being separate and separate apps and separate places to look and
separate apps,
literally
apps,
like racially divided.
Yes, 100%.
What?
Well, Grindr is like white twinks. I mean, if you you can be on the apps,
but
ain't nobody looking for you. That's the only thing. It's literally like, you know, no Asians, no, this is just what I like. It's just a preference. You get that on Grindr.
Yeah.
Then there's like a bunch of like the bear apps. There's like Scruff, and there's some other one, the Growler, and then there's something called Jacked. And Jacked has been, I'm telling all the tea, Jacked has become the one. And I'm literally learning this secondhand because I haven't been on any of the shits that I've ever. But like Jacked apparently is the one where black people are on it too, and that's okay.
It's like where everyone meets.
Yeah, it's odd. It's really odd. It's very segregated. Wow.
And we ended up meeting on none of those. We met on Tinder instead.
Yeah. Where gay people don't go on to hook up because we have plenty. We have all the other apps to do that.
Yeah.
We just were going on dates. And he happened to be a white boy. But the thing is that like I feel like my connection to you, we're both from the South. We both sort of came... We both have interesting family situations that we came from, and we both sort of...
We're mama's boys.
Mama's boys. Mm-hmm. We both sort of, unlike others in our area, like, left our hometowns to go do something somewhere else. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of other things that connect me to Rick that just have nothing to do with race. Yeah.
I feel like we're, like, the same soul.
Yeah.
Like I feel... and then I think for the first year, we were just kind of... enjoying that, and then she got famous on a on a show that was like very black, and then all of a sudden
show I don't calling
this small of a show.
It's not worth mentioning.
Yeah, okay. And then I think we started to like to have these intense conversations, like similar to Dear White People, like the you know about, and then I started feeling guilty for even dating, you know, in some ways.
Why guilty?
Well, I think like this like idea like I would disappoint people. Like I would come, I would show up to an event with Zussi, and then all of a sudden I'm like, I know people, I see the look in their eyes like they wish that I wasn't who I was,
right.
You know, 100%. And then feeling.
You feel that way?
100%.
Oh, I'm sorry, babe.
And it definitely got a lot easier to deal with. And I think that the moment you remarked on earlier in Atlanta was the first like nod to that. It's like, oh, I'm not just dealing with like normal relationship stuff. And whether I'm also dealing with like guilt that comes along with it when anybody in public has an opinion.
Yeah.
Totally.
Right, wrong, or indifferent.
Yeah.
It feeds on you.
Yeah. For me, the most heartbreaking things people say are not the ones that are lashing out. The ones that are like, I'm hurt by this.
Yeah.
Like this makes me feel like betrayed by you.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that, I think that's why like where we want to be here right now to like kind of talk.
And who says that? Is it women? Is it men? Both?
I think both. Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Is that, I mean, I feel like, is that for
you as
well? Yeah,
I mean,
well?
For me, it's mostly gay men.
Yeah.
But, you know, I have friends who like would never date white, right? Like black friends who just wouldn't do it. And it becomes a source of pride at a certain point.
Yeah.
And I get it because you want, I think in any relationship, you want to connect with somebody where there are certain things that you don't have to explain all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like race is one of those things that, like, I don't have to explain it to Rick all the time, but we have moments where we have just fundamental, like, I grew up seeing it one way, he grew up seeing it, and we have to chat.
Yeah, I also think it goes in a way also both ways of, because we actually grew up relatively differently. Like, I grew up in a big city, and he grew up in a small town, and this is a whole nother conversation, which is always interesting. You grew up very religious, and then you let go of your faith, or he let go of his faith in college, and I feel like that, for both of us, is I've learned a lot also about his family and where he's from, and he's learned a lot about my family and my experience, and for us, it's been beautiful moving and learning in that middle ground, and, you know, it is also, like you were saying in the beginning, it's like us two in a room feels very, just like easy. And there's this connection that sort of, that supersedes everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then, but when we put ourselves, and this is something we have to be aware about and be conscious of and something we have to talk about, when we put ourselves in the context of history and the history of this country and of the validated and unvalidated, the right for the not rightful. Well, you know, like the feelings that it brings up for people, you know, and there's no right or wrong in it. It's
that's right.
You know, we have to acknowledge that and we have to work through that. And I do think maybe there's a different way sometimes to address it. Or just, you know, if people are saying something, because people say stuff on the street too, just straight up, you know, and you're like, well, that's just a disrespectful way of addressing it. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I can't.
I just met you.
Yeah.
I'm buying orange juice at the grocery store. Thank you for your opinion.
Yeah. And I think that is where I'm like, okay, this makes me not receptive to having a conversation about it.
You know what's,
right?
You know what's odd about it is because it's like you have to hold about four things in your head.
Mm-hmm.
One is that the pain that black people feel is valid.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually valid because you often, as a black person, you feel underseen and underrepresented both in culture but in relationships, in the dating scene. Like, there are racial components at play.
Mm-hmm.
And there is a historical right to feel some type of way. There is a personal right. There may be personal experiences. That is true. But also what is true is that I met my boyfriend in the same world, but our races have nothing to do with our attraction to each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I certainly... I did not have the set of experiences in my life where I'm going to count somebody out because we have this difference that, frankly, it comes up sometimes. Like, sometimes we will interpret a news item or historical event differently because of our racial upbringings.
Mm-hmm.
AKA, I have white thoughts.
You have white thoughts, occasionally. Mm-hmm. But you also have, which I think is important to any relationship because you're going to always have differences, you also have the ability to open and hear me on things that you know that I may know more about and vice versa.
Yeah.
I think growing up in the rural South with a incredibly racist father and a homophobic father and any kind of bigot you can possibly come up with, he was it, opened me up to that and made me realize that just because you have this thought and just because it is your gut reaction and just because you do have this judgment of people the moment you see them doesn't mean that that's what you have to continually react on. Mm-hmm. You can have that momentary reaction. You can be scared. You can be afraid. You can think that they're an idiot. You can whatever. That can be your first thought, and mm-hmm. that's not the end of the world.
That's yeah. human nature.
That's mm-hmm. human nature. It's to let that continue
yes.
is the problem.
And how you respond to that yeah. thought, yeah.
So I think that's what the biggest thing I've learned in our relationship and I've learned is that I'm always going to have the stupid thought that no one should have. Mm-hmm. But I have that about mm-hmm. gay people. I have mm-hmm. that about white people. I have mm-hmm. that about everyone. Mm-hmm. It's the continuing to listen and continue to open up and listen to somebody else's opinion on it mm-hmm. that I think is what's grown our relationship.
Yeah. Yeah, that's like not white thought, that's human thought, right? Yeah. And like it's just shaped by, I guess, however you were raised or, right. you know,
and
what
by the
your
way,
identity
the thoughts are never like black people are terrible, Justin. It's usually like, you know, we'll just be talking about something and I'll have a very strong reaction based on blackness that you don't always understand, and I'll have to sort of break it down. Mm-hmm. And it actually, like, it makes, I don't know, it's made our relationship really stronger.
Because yeah.
I feel like
yes.
we,
yes.
you have an understanding about my blackness that you did have to learn because you aren't black, but you have shown me so many times that you're open to learning and open to mm-hmm. changing. And I don't know. I think that's a thing you have to learn about your partners, yeah. how open they are.
I think it's also like important to acknowledge. I think we've also been talking about like a lot of black people have strong feelings about this. But it's also, I think, because we are sort of living in that sort of community and context, right? I think also if we were like in other parts of the country or the mm-hmm. world, we would probably hear more vocally also from
white
other people as well,
yeah.
right?
White
you know,
folks,
and
yeah.
it's just
yeah.
like not...
In L.A., nobody white is going to be like,
yeah.
guys,
yeah.
I disagree.
Yeah,
like nobody,
exactly.
Yeah.
And
that's
that
not a thing that
people
yeah.
also don't
maybe it's
have
unsaid,
that feeling,
yeah.
you know? And that's a yeah. whole other thing is like, what is going unsaid?
Well, the whole white genocide thing, which is which is a real movement for people, which mm-hmm. is the fear that the races will mix so much that there won't be a white race anymore.
Yeah.
Never mind that there never was one and we made it up in the 1800s, but whatever. But that is a real, those are real people who live in America who mm-hmm. we would be coming across
yeah.
if we didn't live here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I feel like you have something to say about that or about this.
Well, I was going to say, like, because I grew up, you know, in Minnesota in a small mm-hmm. town that was like 98% German, not just white, like
yeah.
German. So, like, my parents brought in foreign exchange students from like Ghana, people from like, you know, from all Latin America, from like Russia, from all over, just every year because we were homeschooled in this. And I remember thinking that racism was over,
mm-hmm,
you know?
Mm-hmm.
And like, and then it took me a long time because I'm from like a kind of a, you know, working class small town mm-hmm. to understand like my own white privilege. And
mm-hmm.
then like, because I always felt like the outsider going to like a liberal arts college with a bunch of suburban or like rich white people, like, and then feeling like I was like the outsider, and then feeling. I really didn't get it until like, moving to New York and seeing how I was treated differently by police or by like, you know, like going into jobs and like, and then I was a server for a while and feeling like I was treated differently than my black friends from customers, and you start to understand it slowly. And then I think having like making the choice then to go like educate myself on it, you know, and then still being like what you're saying, Rick, about those first thoughts, and like I think acknowledging that I am racist, like that I have like those thoughts too. Because you always want to put yourself on the good side,
yeah.
you know, like that.
That's what it is.
I think so, like, that you're on the right team, you know. And I think a lot of people are, you know, I'm sure you got that a lot from white people, dear white people.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, well, I'm a white person who, and I'm not racist. People say
right.
like, and like, but you are, you know, and you just have to like acknowledge that part of yourself that you can understand and get past it. I think.
Well, I love the way there's a Beverly Tatum. She wrote a book called "Why Do the Black Kids Sit Together in the Cafeteria,"
mm-hmm.
and I love her definition of racism. And she, you know, to her, racism is a prejudice is a thing that we can all have, but racism
okay.
is
yeah,
a system.
Yeah, 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 yeah,
you know, it's
yeah.
racism
I
describes
like
a system of prejudice plus power. So mm-hmm. everyone has prejudices. Everyone has prejudices for and against various races, genders, whatever. But what she says is we live in a system that puts power behind a prejudice against black people. Mm-hmm. And so if you benefit from that system, you technically are a racist, just like you're a capitalist if you're in a capitalist society and you're benefiting from it. It doesn't mean that it's a thing that you chose, but it you are a part of a system where you're benefiting from it. And that's all it has to mean.
Yeah.
And if we could sort of separate prejudice from racism, it might help a little bit. So that people don't feel like... It's like we all inherited this index against whiteness. We none of us chose it. Yeah. We just grew up in it. And, you know, there's no reason to take it so personally if someone wants to bring up to you how you are benefiting in a way that they are not.
Totally.
We got to take a break and be right back. You are listening to Don't At Me.
Thank you for listening to this KCRW podcast. In case you don't know us, KCRW is public radio in Los Angeles, bringing the best of NPR to Southern California. We're also known for our own brand of bold and innovative programming, evocative storytelling, taste-making music, and audio documentaries that are little movies for your ears. You can join our community to support this show and others, or make a one-time donation just to say thank you. Find out more at kcrw.com/join.
Okay, and we are back.
Okay.
And Zazie Bates. For me, dating Rick was not political either. Like, it was...
No, not at all.
Like, I think a lot of people, race is... who the race of the person that they date is political.
Yeah. I think also what has made... you know, I wonder if we've had a bunch of conversations at a more accelerated rate because of our more public sort of... life. Exactly. Like, it wasn't political, and then it suddenly publicly became political. Right. And I think that was something we had to, like, we have to address this beyond me, you, and our parents.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes.
And, you know, within our own families, that's, like, a discussion, sure, that, you know, we figure it out as we need to figure it out. But I think to suddenly have to include this whole audience. Mm-hmm. And again, like how I was saying earlier, of like also feeling this responsibility to address it, you know, because we were nervous. We were like, well, you know, this is our own private experience. Like, we don't owe anyone anything. And then we're like, but...
And I don't think you do, but...
Yeah,
but it's then, still like no one else is talking about it.
Yeah, exactly. No one else is talking about it. And there are many people that need to hear these conversations because they don't have anybody to talk about. And it's about seeing... oh, this is something that can work or can exist
without the politics, I think.
Yeah, yeah, without the politics.
Because they're like, listen, I have black folks in my life who are like, they date black and it's political.
Yeah. Mm.
It's like, not only are they attracted to black people, they're attracted to other people, whatever, but like I know, listen, I know guys who will sleep with any color of the rainbow, but when it's time to land with somebody, it's got to be a black person.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's a political decision that they've made, and I have nothing but respect for it. I get it, get it, get it. But my dating life is not political.
Yeah, it goes the other way around, too.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It does. It does go the other way. Because the thing is like, when I talk to a black friend that decides to, quote-unquote, date white, it is a major political decision. Mm-hmm. I have made this decision. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was never like that. Mm-hmm. So... But when you see it on film and TV, it's always political. Like, you know, Handmaid's Tale is a good example.
Mm-hmm.
Giving Elizabeth Moss a black husband...
That's political.
It's partly political because we're like, this is a diverse show. And oftentimes the diversity choice is to create an interracial relationship. Like, it is a political proof that we are progressive kind of choice, whereas for me, like, it was literally not a thought in my mind what race the person I would be
Think it's interesting. I think when people think interracial relationship, they also always think black and white.
Yes.
And there are so many iterations of what interracial is. Correct. And a black and Asian couple would also face other kinds of sort of conversations, you know.
Do you think that the impression that you got from the outside world was the same as your friends and your family? What was like the first reactions you remember getting?
I'd say with friends, I think I find myself that I surround myself with people that don't take issue with that, you know, or, you know, that don't care about that. Or like within my group of friends, with my white friends, I'm not the black friend, you know. I'm
correct, yeah. Which is, by the way, a place some people, like, I had to work to that, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, I don't, I, for me, it was, I was, it wasn't until my 25th birthday that, like, I had a, my first time that, like, all of my friends were at the same birthday party. I kept them separate. And I didn't do it on purpose. I just did it because I was like, I don't know that too, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, though, it's less of, I feel like it's more of a personality. I think I compartmentalize my life in general.
It wasn't like a race thing. It just happened. My work friends were white, and my, you know. But yeah, you're right. Like now, when I started dating Rick, it was like, okay, cool, Rick. Mm-hmm. It wasn't white guy.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know. How do you feel?
Yeah, I remember like meeting your family, and I asked like, do they know that I'm white? And like, and you know, walking into Thanksgiving, and like. Being like, oh, they're like, just they know that I'm. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm also like a nerdy kind of looking white guy. And I think there's, you know, Zessie also is like, you know, gorgeous. And I think there's this like sense that if like maybe I was like a different kind of white man too. Mm-hmm. It's like a and so I think that we walk in, and I feel I have to prove quickly that I'm woke.
Yeah.
And I have to prove, and then I'm like, no, why am I? And then I start thinking about race way more than I would have, you know. And I start to like be obsessed by it in a way, and then that's counterproductive to us. It gets in the way of us. Mm-hmm. And so I think that, but I think now, you know, we're in 4.5 years, and your family loves me. And
oh my God! Yeah.
Yeah, and I feel like, but I think there was definitely some conversations that had to be had with them, and yeah, do you feel the same way, Rick?
I think there was a moment early in our relationship. We went to a destination wedding that, you know, we were a little early in our relationship, and we were going a little fast, and everything was
Rick
good.
Go ahead. You were a little bit more ready than I was to go away.
We did a destination wedding very early in our relationship as well.
I had a panic attack.
I just wanted to be on the beach, and yeah, I wanted a little vacation. I didn't, you know. And we took a picture at the beginning of the wedding. We were kissing in front of the sunset. It was really cute.
Oh, yeah. And I remember that.
Ooh, I'm into it.
And on top of like just being, we were really get into our cute period. Mm-hmm. If you know, like everything was working out. It was like 4 or 5 months in, something like that.
Yeah.
And we were really in our cute period, and
period's still going strong.
You know, and the picture, picture was adorable.
It was. The sunset was
sun was on our lips.
The golden.
It was like our lips were right here, and the crest of the sun is right here.
And it's like I couldn't not post that photo, even though like maybe there was a lot of things that maybe should have led up to that photo.
Oh, that's like the first episode of
that's literally the first episode of Your Wife.
Yeah. Oh my God, totally. By the way, wow, it is.
Yeah.
Whoops, subconscious.
And so I post it,
I didn't even realize that. Go ahead, sorry.
I get a whole bunch of likes from my friends, and everybody's good, and everybody's happy, and yay, this is great, and. I was like, okay, cool. And I saw nothing from a specific friend that likes everything I've ever posted in my entire life and very obvious. And I'm also noticing that, like, no family members are checking it. And it's just like, it's very, and you know, maybe I'm being over dramatic about paying attention to it, but I am paying attention to it. And I get a call from my mom a week later, and she said that one of our family members had called her and said, "What is he doing?"
Wow.
And I said, well, fuck them.
Yeah.
And you know, it stung, but at the same time I was like, okay, well, now I know who you are.
Yeah.
And
but that's also hard to, like, you know, I mean, I don't know who the family member was or how close they were, but you know, you're also making this decision of like, I'm choosing my partner, and I'm choosing that, and I think that's something.
I also had a moment with it too, because listen, I talk about all the time, like you, gay black boy from the South. you are a people pleaser. Mm-hmm. You are very much like, whatever people think of me is like a big decision. And obviously, like, I was with Rick, I loved Rick, etc. But to declare on Facebook to everyone ever in my life, me and this white boy are kissing on the shores of Mexico. It felt like I had to confront that, like, in the moment while we were together. And I remember saying, like, I'm not ashamed of us, but it took me a second. It took me a second to be ready for that because, you know, I know that certain people think of me a certain way. And I, at the time, was overly concerned with how they thought. Now I don't give a fuck. But, like, you know, at the time, I mean, I would love to hear y'all going home story, but ours was interesting. I was really... I was kind of scared.
I think it equates to me, and one of the reasons it wasn't as hard for me or as big, not as big of a deal, but, you know, it wasn't as shocking for me, is there was a moment in my early 20s when I was dating in Atlanta and I wouldn't hold somebody's hand going down the street. And that was a white boy and in the middle of the gayest part of Atlanta, which, if y'all don't know, Atlanta's pretty gay.
It's the gay capital.
And I still felt ashamed and self-conscious and like it's not something I should be doing. And I made like a very, very conscious decision that I wasn't going to care about the way they were looking at me or the whatever. And I think that that decision long ago like fed into eventually being comfortable with not caring what they think.
You had to break away from your family's opinions earlier than I did.
Yeah.
That's the exact same situation.
Yeah, I grew up like extremely evangelical, like like creationist, you know, praying in tongues. And then I, you know, my family's biggest difficulty is me, you know, changing my faith. And and so I think bringing Zessie home, the only problem is that she wasn't a Christian.
That was the biggest.
My family's really like open and loving, but they're really Christian, and I think that it's really difficult that we live together now, and like that was a crazy conversation. And like we go home, and they want us to stay in separate rooms, and we had to put our foot down. It's like no, we lived together for like a year and a half. We're not going to stay in separate rooms, you know. Like we have sex, you know. So
spoiler alert.
But I also when I was 20 years old, I had my family is very, very like hard for them, and so I think separating that has helped me live the life I want to live, and like fuck them but with love, you know. I love these people, but like, and I also want to hear what they had to say. Like I love what Elena said on your podcast, like, don't at me, go ahead at me, let's have this conversation. I'm not afraid of the conversation, but I'm also not going to do what you want to do for me. I'm going to live my life, I'm going to love who I love, and I'm going to do it with integrity, you know, is like,
But I was saying, I didn't have, you kind of had this huge break and rebuild with your family that I'd never really had to have in that same kind of.
Was your family a little weirded out about the white boy thing?
Not at all, but because, you know, I mean.
You were the product of.
Well, because I am the
multiple races.
You know, honestly, combined. I think my mom did that. Yeah. You know,
she sort of did that for you.
essentially, you know, and I think that there is an element of like, who are you more comfortable with or not more comfortable with, you know, regarding family, I guess. But for me, I never had to really like be like, fuck you, mom, or fuck you, dad, and. And
it's fun, you should try it.
I know, but I'm terrified of it.
Yeah,
I'm terrified.
Totally.
And I think, you know, I'm coming into an age where I feel also very like, you know, I want to assert myself as an adult and as an independent being. And I need to be able to have, I think, conversations with my parents that aren't just me being the child in the conversation, but me being the adult in the conversation.
And that's a transition all of us got to make at some point.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah.
I mean, my family was never vocally anti-white or anything. But one, it was already a thing that I was gay.
Yeah.
It was already step one. And it's like, you know, most everyone knew, but it wasn't something any of us ever talked about. Nobody ever asked me who I was dating. Nobody ever really wanted seemed as if they didn't want to know, or maybe they felt uncomfortable asking. I don't know. But mm-hmm. we never talked about it. Mm-hmm. And I knew that even though it would never be a problem, mm-hmm. I knew everyone was going to have a second when they yeah. realized I was bringing home a boy and that boy was white. And nope. And by the way, yeah. I feel like everybody took to Rick. Everybody showed Rick love. I feel like certain people that I was really hoping would connect with Rick really did.
Yeah.
I remember my aunt Virgie, who passed away a couple years ago, met Rick. And I never officially came out to my Aunt Virgie. We never had that conversation, but she knew. Mm-hmm. And she gave Rick so much love. And I was so happy lovely. That they got to meet before she passed. I mean, yeah. she was such an important person in my life. And so my family has been wonderful about it, but I had to kind of go through the, like, oh, God, I am really ripping off the shell.
Yeah.
I'm really being myself right now, and it's yeah. been a second.
Totally.
Yeah. So I've brought my full adult Los Angeles self to Houston,
Yeah.
I think we felt that, too. I feel like I was so polite. I'm, like, trying to be, like, I'm not trying to hurt any, like, I'm just the nice white guy. But that, you know, in the...
Rick did the opposite, which is why I think they kind of liked him.
Oh, fun.
I feel like the moment we got in the car, Rick was like, hey, fuck it! Like, Rick was just like, Rick. Like, the second, and I think everybody was like, okay.
In road rage that I shouldn't have said.
Crazy. That's the thing. My family's crazy, and Rick's crazy, too. Yeah. I think everyone was like, oh, okay.
We're all crazy.
Nobody's looking at anybody weird here, you know.
Yeah.
I think going home to your family was interesting. Everybody was so sweet, but I feel like you must have had that moment too, right?
I have that moment. I'm embarrassed of my family without being embarrassed of them. Like, I love them to death. They're the sweetest people in the human family. Right? Well, my mom's side of the family. My dad's. And everybody loves Justin. I think that people did respect that I hadn't brought anybody home before, even though I had dated many people and had relationships.
The first one.
Wow.
And so they knew not to fuck with it.
It was a lot at once.
Huge.
All at once, like Whitney said.
Yeah. So I think everything was in the right timing. We didn't, like, the first year we're dating, we didn't go home together. Like, we spaced it out. We, like, did it in the right order. And people were prepared, and people were. But I mean, I will say the opposite side of it. And I don't like to talk about my dad that often. But the time that he thought he was going to meet Justin, he wasn't even. Justin was in town for a movie premiere, and then left. And I was going to have lunch with my dad, and he shows up Xanaxed out of his mind, like unable to function, just with the mere thought that he could possibly be meeting Justin.
Wow.
And our relationship has deteriorated much worse since even then.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it's like it is something to know that I can't introduce Justin to half of my family,
mm-hmm.
and that our relationship isn't accepted. And I don't put that on Justin, because they don't accept me in any gay relationship.
Yeah.
Even though there's many new gaylings that are growing up on that side of the family, and they reach out to me, and they have purple hair, and they they're lesbians, and they're going to women's colleges, and they're doing all these things, wonderful things, and I'm so proud of them that they came out of the same place.
And you,
as an individual. Yeah, that's you. And you're also, I think, your strength in not sort of succumbing to what your family is, or parts of your family are dictating to you, you know, and you're continuing to live your truth, which I feel is a more powerful truth.
Yeah, they saw somebody stand up to that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what everybody needs in every type of relationship, whether it's an interracial and a gay, and you need to be able to stand up to your family and say, no, this is the person I love.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't really care what you think about that. It's going to bother me, and I'm going to let it fester, and I'm going to do other things about it. But
you care, but you're not going to let it dictate.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stay where I feel comfortable and safe, and with a person that I know that loves me and that supports me and that tells me all of the things that I honestly had never heard before, a relationship with Justin. And I didn't receive that kind of support from my family, let alone another relationship.
Yeah.
So fuck them. Yeah. Fuck anybody that doesn't approve of this.
Yeah.
Because it is the right thing. And I am on my right path.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Any other white thoughts we want?
we want white thoughts, right? Yeah. I agree. My family So I'm an actor, and I've been. Oh, I had a gay sex scene in this movie on Netflix, and my whole family is.
I'm not familiar with that platform.
And that was the whole family, like, very, very upset about this.
Wow,
this,
I can only. Oh my God! Yeah.
And like, and it's funny, you know, you don't choose to be gay, but you choose to be gay in a movie, you know.
Yeah.
And so I think
you literally chose to be gay.
Okay. I chose to be gay. And. But I think, standing up for, because I feel like they are gay. I have gay cousins that aren't out, you know. And I have a very conservative, and like my nuclear family, my parents, like they have these beliefs, but they are still loving. And other parts of the extended family, I think, are less loving about it. And so, like, and so you inspired me, Rick, by saying that about you. Yeah.
Well, listen, don't add any of us, okay? If you ain't happy about our interracial swirl-ass love, well, then that's just fine. Go find your love wherever you want to find it. I ain't going to be mad at you. I ain't going to be adding you.
Exactly.
But we good, okay?
Social media is a little light these days. You can at me if you really need to.
Yeah, you could at Rick. I'm not on Twitter at the moment. I'm taking a break. Ooh. But this was really healing and lovely, and I love you too. And we have to have like... We have to have like dinner and drinks.
Oh my gosh. Let's go get some vegan, gluten-free food in LA.
Oh boy, is that what you're on right now? This has really been lovely. Before I let you go, because I did tell people to ask me questions, I would at least ask you one of the Minty fan questions that have come in. Okay, I'm going to ask two, actually.
Okay.
This was for you. What is your next project, say, for Atlanta? By the way, you're everything. This is for you specifically. So
thank you.
What's next?
So next, I'm shooting a movie called... Doesn't have a name.
Jesse Betts is doesn't have a name.
The
Bates. Oh my God! I did it again.
I'm so used to not correcting Betts. People, which is awful.
Okay, no, this is revealing.
Betts. No,
Bates. Kind of like Bates Motel.
Please keep adding me on your name specifically, because I'm gonna get it right one day.
It's the Joker origins story.
Oh, yeah.
So I am very excited about that. I don't know how much I can legally say.
That's good.
But I've gotten cleared to enter the DC universe because I'm a Marvel girl.
Wow.
And so I am very, very, very excited about that.
Right now you're making Pale Blue Dot.
And right now I'm making Pale Blue Dot, which is with Noah Hawley, the director, and Natalie Portman, and John Hamm, and Dan Stevens.
Guys.
And I think that'll be fun. And
that's
just finished Against All Enemies.
So you have a lot of free time on your hands.
I'm figuring it out. But yes, that's what I'm up to right now.
Noah Hawley is exciting as hell. I didn't even know. I haven't been reading my trades.
Do you know him?
No, I just know his work.
Okay,
he's fucking amazing. Legion is the weirdest, wildest. If you two could collaborate on a biopic, whose would it be and why? Listen, that's a lot.
Oh my God.
Who you want to
play? I just ordered some biographies off of Amazon.
Yes.
Because I'm on this. Okay, I really want to do Josephine Baker.
Whoa!
That's my girl.
Love the banana dress.
Okay, yes, my little skirt. Yeah. Yes, boobies out.
You'd
I can't
be great.
Wait.
Mm-hmm. You'd be
I
great.
Can't wait.
I will direct you. We'll do it. I'll do it. Fine.
Okay.
You'll twist my arm.
Okay.
That's amazing.
That's my thing. But what about you? What's your kind of...
I have a biopic that I'm not going to talk about.
Okay.
Because it's in the works and I don't want to jinx it.
Yeah, it's fair.
It's amazing. And y'all know who y'all are, so come on, let's go. Let's make this movie, okay?
All right.
This has been a pleasure. Right.
Yeah, this has been so lovely. Much. Thank you for your honesty and your openness.
You're a dope
and also,
man.
Rick and David.
Rick
thank
and
you
David.
So much. Yeah. You know, this is... It's hard talking about this kind of stuff publicly.
Rick, thank you for being my white savior. I'm just kidding. But thank you guys for coming on, though. It is hard. Mm-hmm. And listen, it's nothing. You don't normally hop on a podcast to talk about your most intimate race-related feeling. So I appreciate it, and I know a lot of people listening will, too.
Mm-hmm.
Thank y'all.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Where can we find you, all of you?
Oh.
If you want to be found on the social medias.
Okay, let's...
So, Zussie Bates.
Bates.
Fuck it. Zussie Bates.
So I'm only chilling on Instagram at this point. Yes. And you know what? Let me tell you, that relationship is on and off. It's yep. complicated. Mm-hmm. So, but it's just my name, Zessie Bates.
Zessie Bates.
Yeah, no.
Zessie Bates. Zessie Bates. Zessie Bates. Okay. Yeah. Got it. Rick?
I'm at RickPix and at How I Get High on Instagram.
Cute.
Yeah. Well, I'm also on Instagram. David Rizdahl. At David Rizdahl.
You can find me jsim07 and all the things. Although if you're on Twitter, I probably won't write back because it's not on my phone at the moment. Mm-hmm. So Instagram is kind of where I've been chilling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like Instagram.
I do too. It's a little more, I don't know.
It's easier to block people.
Oh, that's true. I don't have to see a bunch of people complain if I don't want to.
Yeah, exactly.
I love y'all. Thank y'all for coming. Mm-hmm. I feel a connection.
Yeah. Me too.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
I would love to thank Zessie Bates, David Rizdahl, and my boo Rick Proctor, producer Gina Delvac, special thanks to Vishnu Vallabhaneni, our production engineers Sean O'Brien and Ray Warner, head of programming Gary Scott, of course Chris Bowers, who created our theme song. This is Don't At Me with Justin Simeon, and now that the show's over, at all you want, just please, please subscribe at Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen, and leave us a review. It really helps. We will be back next week with another episode of Don't At Me from the one and only KCRW.
Hey guys, it's Cheyenne Davis. You may know me from MTV's Teen Mom OG or Think Loud Crew podcast. I'm here with my dad, Papa Floyd, to tell you about our new podcast, Unfiltered Kitchen.
The kitchen is the hub of the household for many of us. The one-stop shop for conversations both big and small. Cheyenne and I have been having open conversations about all aspects of life in our kitchen since well before she was able to see over the counter.
And now we're inviting you into our own kitchen as a part of the family.
Unfiltered Kitchen is a two-way street. I share my advice on cocktails, cooking, parenting, and the lessons I've learned.
And I inform my dad what it's like to raise kids today, how generational barriers affect us, and the joys of being a daughter. Well, your daughter.
Get ready for a whole lot of unfiltered advice. You can take it or leave it, but you're never going to leave this table feeling hungry for more.
Listen to Unfiltered Kitchen wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you follow automotive news? Or do you just like cars and want to see what the heck's going on? Well, then you might like Donut Media's new podcast, The Big Three. Hi, I'm James Pumphrey, and every week, me and my co-host slash two of my top five friends, Nolan Sykes and Joe Weber, unpack the latest and greatest in automotive news and trends on The Big Three. You'll also get a lot of laughs, hot takes, and personal insight on cars from the biggest car guys in automotive media. So, whether you're a hardcore enthusiast or just a person who goes, that's a good looking car, check out The Big Three, available wherever you get your podcasts, or you can watch the full videos at Donut Podcasts on YouTube.